Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome. This is the Sunstone Symposium, devotional session 301, Saturday, 6th of August, 2011, at the Shepherd Union on the campus of Weber State University in Ogden, Utah. I'm Carol Quist. I'm a member of the Sunstone staff. I'm delighted to have you here. I'm delighted to be part of this session at which Francis Minlove will speak. One of the best meetings I ever heard was begun by the chair saying, "Set your cell phones or other electronics on stun or kill." I think you get the message. You can be out of the world for 30 minutes. I'm giving you the commercials first and then introducing Francis later. And there will be no question and answer period at the end of her devotional. You are, of course, welcome to discuss further and become friends with her out in the hall. It's been my pleasure to know her for a long time because her mother was my classmate at Stanford. I tell lies sometimes when I think people will laugh. All right, the rest of the commercials. There are recordings of the sessions here, individual CDs, and after the close of the session, probably about 3 weeks, we may have the MP3s available that quickly. They do have to be reviewed, processed, and so on. Some are available now. Out on the desk also, there are T-shirts, there are magazines. We have two fundraisers going on. One is the matching fundraising campaign. One is the Giving Tree, on which you can purchase, for example, a new phone system, only $1,500, low tax. I have out there order forms for the recordings. I have survey forms, and you're welcome to pick one up here afterward, too, because we would like to have your input on the things you have heard and will hear at the symposium, suggestions for a proposal you will give next year, for example. And I have also subscription order forms in case you are not a subscriber yet and are itching to be one. Now, the title of our session is Trusting Smallness in an Infinity Squared Universe. Francis Lee Minlove holds a PhD in psychology from the University of Michigan, a Master of Divinity from the Pacific School of Religion in Berkeley, California. She is an active Red Cross disaster response volunteer who keeps the actual pick and shovel people from killing one another under stress. She lives on the Oregon coast where she can watch whales, gaze at stars, and get out of the way of tsunamis. Francis Lee Minlove.
Thank you so much for coming. Coming to the first session, I think, is always a wonderful. It's a start. Thank you for being here. I'm going to start by telling you that several years ago, I was at a physicist's retirement gathering when, in the middle of a brief speech, he dramatically held out both his arms and told us the most amazing thing, the most awesome thing in my entire lifetime has been the revolution in astronomy. It is a revolution that is as big and as mind-boggling as when Galileo's observations demoted our planet from being the center of everything to one planet traveling around the sun. His voice his voice was filled with awe and even reverence as he spoke of the radical amazement at the discoveries made during his and our lifetimes. This golden age of cosmic discovery. In the years since we were all born, the frontiers of our universe have been pushed outward in ways that take language to its limits, beyond its limits. Infinity Square is the way I think about it, and I know that Infinity Square makes no logical sense and makes no mathematical sense, but emotionally it speaks to me. You know, gazillion just doesn't cut it. Gazillion just doesn't cut it. Now, if you will lend me your imaginations for a couple of minutes, I'm going to walk us through a simple thought experiment. I want you to do this thought experiment with me. Okay? I want you to pretend with me. Maybe even shut your eyes. I'm going to wait till these people get seated, and then we will go, sure, hi. Okay. Okay. Now, just shut your eyes for a minute. And I want you to imagine that all time, from the beginning of the universe to today, was collapsed into one single year. That single year's events would look something like this. The Big Bang occurs on January 1st. Life begins on Earth on October 2nd. Mammals show up on December 26th. Homo sapiens arrive on December 31st. At about 11:53 p.m., about 7 minutes before midnight. Recorded human history begins at 10 seconds before midnight. 10 seconds before midnight. Okay, open your eyes. Oh, one more thing. I recently went to a lecture about the mathematics of space. And during the intermission, I asked a professor about this one-year-only way of mapping time, and he told me it was fine. But, he said, if there are any kids in the audience, when I give it, I tell them that dinosaurs arrived on Christmas Day. I imagine your mind is a bit boggled, as mine is, at this way of illustrating the vastness of time. But in case you are still boggle-free, let me add into the mix one of astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson's favorite facts about the universe. There are 100,000 times as many stars in the universe as sounds and words ever uttered by all humans who have ever lived. 100,000 times as many stars in the universe as sounds and words ever uttered by all humans who have ever lived. On the first day of creation, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. That litany is repeated at the end of each day of creation, and God saw that it was good. Acknowledging the restraints of human perceptions on time and space reminds us, I think, of our in-the-gut knowledge that God transcends images, names, and definitions. And God saw that it was good takes on added gravitas, added awe, added wonder, now that scientists have given us a vastly bigger picture of creation. Now, I'm going to shift to the wisdom of a favorite religion teacher of mine, who offered the following observation as he reviewed his life experiences in much the same way as the physicists had. This teacher said that life had taught him one sure thing, and that was to trust smallness. Trust smallness. All around us is poverty and misery, human misery and war, troubles of every kind, and we yearn to fix them. Don't, he said, don't yearn to succumb to despair. Trust smallness. Remember Jesus' words. with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. The kingdom of God can arise out of tiny mustard seeds. Now, listen to a few mustard seed stories. You remember Archbishop Desmond Tutu. He was the first South African Anglican Archbishop of Cape Town. He won the 1984 Nobel Peace Prize for his nonviolent struggle against apartheid in South Africa. In 2009, he was also awarded our country's Presidential Medal of Freedom. After receiving the Nobel Award, he was asked to recall the formative experiences of his life. He replied, "One incident comes to mind immediately. When I was a young child, I saw a man tip his hat to a black woman. Please understand that such a gesture is completely unheard of in my country. The white man was an Episcopal bishop, and that black woman was my mother." Imagine it. A young child is imprinted, his heart engraved for his life, by this single slight gesture toward his mother, a mere tip of the hat. It was a small gesture, but it somehow communicated to that small child unfeigned respect. He carried that gesture in his heart for decades, where it continued to warm him. God's love working through the tip of a hat. Perhaps the trajectory of Bishop Tutu's entire life was changed by that tip of the hat. That tipped hat is most surely a mustard seed. Most surely a mustard seed. Another story. Oscar Wilde wrote in his memoirs, "Where there is sorrow, there is holy ground." He tells a mustard seed story that happened to him in a time of deep sorrow and humiliation. He was walking, handcuffed between two policemen, from his prison cell to the court of bankruptcy. A crowd lined the path as he was taken on. It was kind of a perp walk. As he was walking past the onlookers, with his head bowed, one man in the crowd gravely raised his hat. Listen to how Oscar Wilde describes that moment of the raised hat. "Men have gone to heaven for smaller things than that. It was in this spirit and with this mode of love that the saints knelt down to wash the feet of the poor, or stooped to kiss a leper on the cheek. I store it in the treasure house of my heart. That silent act of love has unsealed for me all the wells of pity, made the desert blossom like a rose, and brought me out of the bitterness of lonely exile into harmony with the wounded, broken, and great heart of the world." Another tiny mustard seed, another simple gesture of respect, conveyed with a hat, brought a little bit of kingdom of God to this prisoner on his lonely and humiliating walk. Where there is sorrow, there is holy ground. Now, our family has a mustard seed story. My grandmother died in the flu epidemic of 1918. About 8 days passed from her first symptom until she was dead. She left my grandfather, a widower, with 5 children, ages 1 to 11. My mother was the middle child. My grandfather's mother and his young sister, Vera, came to live with the family to help with this tragedy. My mother told me this mustard seed story when I was 10, 11, something like that. One day, her Aunt Vera took her to downtown Logan and treated her to a store-bought haircut. Now, you need to understand that in her family at that time, haircuts normally took place in the kitchen. I don't know if a bowl was used as a shaper, but they always were kitchen haircuts. So Aunt Vera and my mother went down together to get a real store-bought haircut. Just my mother and her aunt. None of the sisters accompanied them, just the two of them. That's it. That's the entire story. That's it. Except that that story lived for decades. For some reason, that action, like the tipping or raising of a hat, cheered that little girl, told her there was a future, and that she was seen as a person who could go forward. Something about that little excursion touched the heart of this motherless child in a way that stayed with her and warmed her always. My mother was more than 80 years old the last time I heard her speak of Aunt Vera and the real haircut. But her voice contained the same warmth toward this beloved aunt that I remember when I heard this story the first time decades earlier. Such a small incident, a mustard seed, an act of love that helped this little girl cope with just the imponderable grief of losing her mother, and helped her in a way that warmed her spirit the rest of her life. My mother was on holy ground in her sorrow, and the seed of love that Aunt Vera planted sprouted and hope sprung up. A mustard seed of love planted and growing is like the kingdom of God. Small seeds such as unexpected, unprecedented tip of a hat, a respectful doffing of the hat towards someone in great pain, or a special excursion for a special haircut for a grieving child can give us glimpses of the kingdom. Now remember the prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." John Dominic Crossan is fond of pointing out in this discussion of this passage of the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for the kingdom here on this earth, since we all believe that heaven is already in great shape. With the mystery of the cosmos more wondrous than our imaginations can grasp, this planet we call home is circling one sun, and there are billions of other suns, even billions of galaxies, perhaps 100 billion galaxies in the universe. The planet we call home had a staggering demotion from the center of everything before Galileo to one of millions or billions of planets. And our earthly home is racing through space, playing dodgeball with killer asteroids. Not only that, this planet itself is still evolving. It hasn't yet settled on the boundaries of the continents. Apparently, as a result of the big earthquake in Japan, Japan has now moved several feet closer to my home on the Oregon coast. The boundaries are still in flux. During our lifetime, now far less than 1 second in our imaginary year, our notions of the universe have been completely revolutionized. The cosmos has been rocked, and even time is curved. Time is curved. And there is no doubt this new understanding of the universe is itself transitional, itself, just as our ancestors' understandings were transitional. But, we are told, God creates a universe full of wonders and calls it good. That is the big, vast story. But think about it. The small story is just as staggering. The small story is just as staggering. We live with the mystery of tiny seeds of love flourishing beyond the wildest imaginations of the seed sowers. The potential for the kingdom of God in a small mustard seed means that there is no end to the difference for good that we can make on this planet. Jesus trusts smallness. A child, one last coin, one sheep in the fold, 5 small loaves, 2 fish, tiny mustard seeds. Before I finish, I'd like to have just a minute of silence, a minute where you can mull over or meditate on the power of smallness, trusting in smallness. Listen to our lives and review our trust in mustard seeds. Just a minute of reviewing our trust in mustard seeds. Okay, go. Okay. Bishop Tutu tells us to do your little bit of good wherever you are. It's those little bits of good that together overwhelm the world. God can take what seems to be small and insignificant and accomplish far more than we could ever imagine. Every day, we have opportunities to sow seeds of love and kindness and forgiveness. We never know how a small gesture on our part may make a big difference to someone else. We never know. We are a marvelous, mysterious mix of dust and divinity. These are the mysteries you and I keep company with all the time. Infinity squared and mustard seeds. I will end with a prayer. In a universe more wondrous than our imaginations, help us to go out into our world as bearers of love, mindful that the spending of love, it seems, is our one assignment. Thank you, God, for our moments of wonder, awe, and radical amazement at both the power of the very large and the power of the very small. And God, please remind us daily not to neglect small acts of compassion, so that you, in your turn, might fill them with your great love. Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming.